From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look out the bright lights. Look out the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder of Reawaken Media, G. Brian Benson.
Look out the night sky. Look out the night sky.
And musical guest, Harold Payne. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
A funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. Actually, it wasn't on the way to the studio. It was actually first thing this morning. And it reminded me of something that I haven't thought of since I was a child. See, I grew up in a very affluent neighborhood, community, except we weren't affluent. But everybody around us seemed to be. And everybody had better clothes and everybody had nice houses and all that. We had a nice house, actually. But the clothes thing was a big deal. I never had the latest tennis shoes when all my school friends did, and the latest jeans and all that stuff and the latest sports clothes. And so it was a thing for me. And I remember it kind of was a thing for my parents, too. They came from a small town where when one went out, one wore their best. And they put on the best that they had, and they had to look good. And so that was instilled in us. And the funny thing is that even when I felt we looked good, we still didn't look like everybody else because we didn't have the labels on our shirts or our pants or our shoes or didn't have the latest clothes or whatever. So I haven't thought about that in years. I used to get teased about my clothes, and it was a thing all my life, actually. Evidently, until recently, I think I've done some really good work on myself, because this morning I had to get to this place where it was a professional place, and I rolled out of bed and I was busy with this and that, and it came time that I had to go do this thing, and I thought, I'm not going to change. I'm just going to go. I didn't even think about it. I didn't think I should dress properly or I should wear my nicer clothes because I will get more attention, or that I get treated differently, because that was the thing. And so I literally had on the old T-shirt that I had worn to bed, and I still had bed hair. And I put on a pair of jeans and I went to this place. And as I got there, I was in a hurry, actually, because it was a busy day, the show tonight. And there was somebody in line who looked like she was going to take an hour. And she had gotten there 10 seconds before me. And as she started her transaction, and I thought, oh, gosh, I don't have time for this. I might just have to leave and come back another day. She turned around and she said, "Sir, if you'd like, you can go first." And I was so grateful. And I said, "Thank you so much. Hopefully this will be really quick." And I got up to the counter, the desk, whatever, and I did my transaction. And I turned and I said, You don't know, you just made my day. Thank you so much. What was it that made you turn and say that to me?" She says, "You know, I turned around, I took a look at you, and it was your shirt." And I looked at my shirt and I had on this rag of a shirt. And I said, "This shirt?" And she said, "Yeah, there was something about the way you look that says to me, like, this guy's busy. This guy's a nice guy. I should do something to help him move his day along. I don't know what it is. I like your shirt, by the way." And I said, "Thank you so much." What a paradigm buster. If I had put on a button-down shirt and, you know, whatever, dress pants and whatever, she might have looked at me and said, "Wow, what an asshole." And I would have been there an extra hour. Instead, I was just being me in that moment. And I thought, wow, how perfect is this? Tonight we're going to be talking about be yourself, free yourself. And don't get me wrong, I still like to dress up. But this morning, I was certainly being myself. And the other thing is I didn't spend time worried about I should have worn something else. I should look this way. I should look that way. Didn't even cross my mind. So I must have been aligned with myself. I was free. Be yourself to free yourself. Today, our show is going to be with Brian Benson, who's going to be talking about that. A little later on, music by Harold Payne, all on the Life Show, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune.
I'm trying to figure out why you changed for the show tonight.
I thought about wearing that shirt. I really did.
Or the puffy shirt.
You could have worn the puffy shirt. That's right. The Seinfeld puffy shirt. Oh, you're so funny. I did think about it.
That's a callback to an earlier episode of ours as well.
Indeed. Well, interestingly enough, that brought up something for Brian that he wanted to talk about. But before we do, I should say, he's a creator and producer of Conscious Media. He's a writer, a filmmaker, an actor, TEDx speaker, and an award-winning self-help author. Actually, he's so much more, and maybe we'll get into some of the other things. But in the meantime, he's G. Brian Benson. Welcome, Brian, to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Okay, thanks, so you started to say, when I was in seventh grade.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you were talking about the labels and stuff, you know, of the clothes when you were younger and such, that brought back memories of when, I grew up middle class, but in middle school, there was so much pressure to like wear Izod shirts.
Yes.
And so my mom.
We must be the same age.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you 20?
Yeah. I just turned 21. Okay. But I don't.
You're older than
yeah,
I am. Okay.
Yeah, just a little. But my mom, we'd find shirts that were like identical to them that were no non-label, and we would like recycle Izod alligators and sew them on.
Interesting.
And it worked. gave me middle school cred.
That's where you got your confidence.
Right.
Isn't that funny though, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so
stylist is also
not everybody would probably agree with that, but yeah. Sure. I'll take it.
So it's interesting how that affects how we be.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah.
Especially as children.
Yeah, and I'm just finally, I know it sounds crazy here, I'm nearing middle age, and finally really finding the self-worth that I've, you know, kind of wanted to have most of my life, you know, and finally kind of falling into who I feel like I am and owning what I've got and not being afraid to share it. But it was a long journey and a lot of work.
Well, no coincidence. Of course, the old adage is we teach what we most need to learn.
Yeah.
And you've written a book. Your first book was Brian's List, 26 and a half, easy to use ideas on how to live a fun, balanced, healthy life. Your second book is Finding Your Voice, a collection of inspirational stories, poems, thoughts, and quotes to help you find your true voice. And that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, you know, I wrote those for myself first and foremost,
right.
and you know, hopefully they help others too. You know, I just try to be a living example. I'm not really telling anybody what to do. It's just we all share so much in common.
Well, thank you for that. Actually, a lot of people don't know that or don't acknowledge that. You know, they write a book for themselves and then somebody makes them a subject expert and they say, yes, I am. And then they get on radio or on TV and they say, well, I'm an expert at all this. But it's interesting if you get to know the people behind many of the best-selling books out there, their lives are pretty effed up.
Well, thank you. I think.
Well, no, I'm saying no, so yeah, thank no, you for acknowledging.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as far as my life being, you know, effed
I didn't
up.
Say,
no, I know. No, I'm doing all right. But yes, you're absolutely you're absolutely correct. And it's taken me a while to even kind of own the books. I've never wanted to be an expert. And early on, after I did it, you know, it was kind of, I had no idea I would be writing. You know, the book just kind of came out of me unexpectedly. And so, but it pointed me in a whole new direction after I left the family business. And so it gave me some direction. But I, a lot of people said, you need to brand yourself and stuff. But it was just, I don't feel comfortable doing this because I don't really feel like this is all of me. And this is not really who I, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, certainly not all of you because it doesn't include the 50 marathons and
well,
doesn't include. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't include IZOD. So actually, we'll come back to the books, but in the meantime, your family business, you had for many people an ideal situation.
Yeah. I ran a golf center for 11 years that had a driving range, a big retail store, and a 9-hole par 3 course. I grew up golfing, and...
And it was a family business. Like, you were... semi-boss there.
I mean, it was my dad and I, and he was an insurance salesman, so he kind of had his own thing, but we made decisions together, but I kind of ran it, you know, and I learned a lot, and it was fine for a while, but then I kind of always felt like I was supposed to do something else with my life. I had no idea what it was, and finally one day, I just knew that it was, I needed to do something else. I needed to just take that leap. Thank God I've always kind of trusted my intuition. And it's gotten easier the more I do that. But I told him that I feel like I'm finished here. And he was supportive, which was nice. I mean, I still would have done it had he not been.
Nice.
But
nice. He was supportive.
But he was. And it took another year to actually leave because we decided to sell it. So we had to list it and, you know, do the whole process. So in that last year, it was a struggle because I was so ready to hit the road and just see what lay before me. But I became out of balance myself in trying to be the best version of myself that I could be during that time. I just sat down one day and wrote out 5 things that I knew that would keep me in life balance. And it helped. And after that, I just intuitively felt like I was supposed to expand that list and write a book, which was kind of odd because I wasn't really a writer. But I sat down and I wrote it at the tail end of being at work.
Yeah, well, too bad you didn't have a golf store because you could put this book in the store and I'm sure it would.
Yeah. I know that guy. Yeah.
You could probably turn around and make this 26 and a half easy to use ideas on how to play your best game of golf.
I know, right? That's where the money is. Yeah. I didn't do it for
just take the book and just put a different cover on it and there you go. No, but seriously, all joking aside,
of course.
So much of the foundation of finding balance and happiness in our life and all that affects everything we do, golf or otherwise.
Everything. Everything. And I found, I mean, there's so many reasons it's good to stay in balance, but the biggest one for me is just, you know, and of course we ride the roller coaster and we're not always in balance all the time, but the more that we can stay in it, it helps us kind of move through those periods. But the biggest thing for me of staying in balance is just that my intuition comes through clearer. And that is where I truly believe. I mean, you know, call it God, source, the universe, whatever you want to call it, but that's kind of a game plan for us and if we follow our intuition, that really, I think that's kind of our master plan that leads to fulfillment, you know what I'm saying? And so that's what I've just been doing the last 7 years. And it's led to all these things that I had no idea were inside of me and continue to kind of be amazed by it.
Like guitar playing and film and acting?
Yeah, I didn't plan on acting or any of that stuff. I just, when the book came out, I felt my intuition, I just kind of felt like I was supposed to learn how to be comfortable in front of people because I needed to talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that terrified me. So I just did the whole process of community college speech classes. I hired someone to be a co-host on an internet radio show. I created my own internet workshop, just a lot, Toastmasters for about a year, just a lot of things just to step out of my comfort zone, just to, you know, hopefully gain improvement in confidence.
And one thing...
You succeeded.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
And one thing can lead to the other.
The money's in the mail. The check's in the mail.
the wax on, wax off effect, right? I mean, you're studying this over here, and then you end up using it over here.
Yeah. Like
that's what reference is that? That's Karate Kid.
Karate Kid. Karate Kid. Yeah. I've never seen that movie.
Oh, really?
I know, it's crazy.
But you know the reference.
Yes.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about your films, actually, Searching for Happiness, Guitar Man,
cool.
More about your books, and more about what you're doing now. You actually have a couple of things coming out, a new book, actually, and a kid's book and all that stuff. So when we come back, we'll be talking more with G. Brian Benson. And in a little bit, live music here at Studio NoHo by Harold Payne. We'll be right back on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. I'm Filippo Volta, just sitting here with Mark Lejeune, and our guest is G. Brian Benson. He is a lot of things, actually. Creator and producer of Conscious Media, writer, filmmaker, actor, TEDx speaker, award-winning self-help author, and you have done like 50 triathlons, 4 iron distance races. Now you play the guitar, you did the film about it. I mean, this is all quote-unquote spirit moving you to do all this?
Yeah, some of those things feel like different lifetimes ago, but I've always just kind of gone after the things I felt, you know, just if there's something that kind of interested me, I gave it a try. So the triathlon started way back, I don't want to say the year, 1987. I was recovering from a knee injury, and I just set a small goal of mine to do a short triathlon. After, as I was rehabbing it, and I did it, and kind of it really empowered me and gave me a lot of confidence. And I just was off to the races for a while.
That was your last short triathlon?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't mess around with the short stuff after that. I just went all the way. You know,
for you.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting that you say that it seems like lifetimes ago. And in a sense, it is.
Because it's 30 years ago when I started.
Maybe it might have been a long time ago. And B, you're another person because of it.
Yes. It was one of the first things that really gave me some confidence. You know what I mean?
So the Izod shirts didn't really...
No, yeah, that was just temporary. It wasn't lasting.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
the triathlons were one of the first things that kind of... I like, and, you know, as we grow and we mature, we continually, hopefully, build our foundation. And that was just kind of some of the first few bricks maybe in my foundation. And it was nice at an early age to be able to realize that I could kind of maybe do whatever I felt like I put my mind to, right? And so I think that helped me these last 7 years as I kind of ventured off into the unknown, stepping out into some areas that I wasn't really sure I had what it took to do. But having that success in triathlon, you know, was a nice thing in my back pocket to kind of carry me through that.
And take you to a whole other level, obviously.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, so your first film was Guitar Man, which was kind of like written and produced in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I told you all the things that I did to learn how to kind of be comfortable in front of people. I took an acting class because I thought that would help too. Wasn't planning on acting. This was in Reno, Nevada. A couple weeks after the class was over, I had an idea come to my head in the form of a dream. When I woke up, I wrote it down. And I had met a young filmmaker very shortly thereafter. And I just said, you know, I don't know how to make a film, but would you want to do this with me? And he said, sure. So very shortly thereafter, we found ourselves on the streets of Reno over the course of about 4 nights. We did Guitar Man. And, you know, it was very empowering because it was the first thing I acted in, first time I ever played guitar in front of anybody. And I'm really happy how it turned out, you know.
You know, it's interesting. You're reminding me of something that I haven't thought of. So many people nowadays, we see there's Google and there's, you know, iPhone or Apple, whatever the company is. And Apple has iPhone and MacBooks and all that stuff. And it's got iPads and all this stuff going on. So when we sometimes forget that sometimes when we build an idea, some people stop because, well, I can't be Google. Or I can't be Apple.
Right.
But they forget that Apple wasn't Apple when Apple started, and neither was Google. And so I'm listening to you saying, so you made your first film, and now you're making, you made your second one that was just released last month. And who knows, at some point you have this big film and Golden Globes and whatever. And then somebody said, oh, wow, I can't be G. Brian Benson.
You just got to start somewhere. And thank God I'm not afraid if I get an idea just to kind of just see what happens with it. And with all these things that I've done, I've really not known where they were going to lead me. But I've always kind of felt intuitively, man, when I was 3, I told my mom that I was put here to inspire people. And so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what did your mother say? That's nice.
Yeah, go eat your cereal. It's time for school almost.
Go eat your Fruit Loops.
No. But you know, I lost sight of that. And then all of a sudden this book came through me, and I kind of was reminded, she reminded me of it. And so I've kind of had this intention of wanting to do what I do on a larger scale, not, you know, just to make the world a better place and just to help people become the best versions of themselves. So I don't know where each individual thing is going to land, but as a composite whole, they've kind of helped. And all the things I've had to do to make them come to life and to, you know, they've helped build my foundations to become stronger and stronger and make connections. And, you know, one thing leads to another.
And have experiences.
And, you know, at the end of my TEDx talk, I think I say something along the lines of, now I happily expect the unexpected. And that's really, truly how I feel, whether it's going to be an email tomorrow from somebody who saw something that's interested in doing something. You know what I mean? You just never know. But you just got to keep throwing spaghetti against the wall.
Right. Yeah, if you want to be that person that sends him an email tomorrow, you can go to his website at gbrianbenson.com. G is the letter G, and then Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Benson, BENSON.com. Go ahead, surprise him. So now, guitar. Well, and actually, while you're there, you can see Guitar Man there, right?
Yeah, all my films and the TEDx talk, they're all on there.
And Searching for Happiness is the one that was just released.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Wow. Unique film. It's, I won't spoil it too much, but there's no dialogue in it. But, but I'm proud of it. It tells the story about a man who's trying to find happiness. And he's reading a book called Searching for Happiness, and it's not working for him. And I won't spoil the rest, but looking back, it's kind of interesting because when I wrote it about 4 years ago, I didn't realize it was kind of a little autobiographical. You know, looking back.
Surprise.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm glad you know that because a lot of people.
Well, and on that note, it was very relatable to me. However, I believe very relatable to
everyone
on some level.
Yes.
Someday, some moment, much less a lifetime.
And there's so many reasons why we kind of aren't happy. It's whether we're trying to be like somebody else or we're having expectations about certain things or what have you. And usually I know all this stuff and I'm pretty good at it. But once that first book came out of me, I started kind of putting some expectations because I know where I'm kind of headed, if that makes sense. But yet, so everything I did, I kind of was hoping that would be the thing to spring me. You know, I wasn't ready. I mean, I thought I was at the time, but I wasn't. I had to keep doing these other things to you know, just get more solid in who I was and learn about myself. So the last 5 years, there's been a part of me that really hasn't been happy because I was kind of, I was still creating intuitively, but yet there was a part of me that was kind of pushing at times instead of allowing and totally surrendering.
There's a show called Life Changes
that I've heard about it.
Like people doing just that and sharing that journey with each other.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But
indeed.
So looking at this film is kind of like, it was not very hard for me to play the lead character. You know what I mean? It was just, I can drop right in.
Oh, you're the lead character?
Yes,
I haven't seen it yet.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Oh, figuratively and literally.
Boom.
Well, let me throw some things out that I find interesting in your book, 26 and a half easy to use ideas on how to live a fun, balanced, healthy life, Brian's List. Mm-hmm. It won a couple things, including the Next Generation Indie Book Awards.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Thank you.
So write down your thoughts.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that's one of the ways to stay in balance. You know, I think... if we, you know, a lot of people journal, I write in a lot of different ways, you know, whether it's poetry, whether it's a script, whether it's a book, and that's kind of helps me. But I think if we can get stuff, clear stuff out of our head, it just makes everything a lot better and easier, right? I mean, if we have things jumbled around, then it can block us. It can cut our intuitive channels.
Value to the output.
Yes. And you know how troubling living in our head can be.
Heads especially.
Boom. Yeah, it's right. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was talking about people that write books and myself included. I when I wrote my first book, it made it real for me. The experience happened, but I could ignore it somehow. I just allow it to have been something that happened and I move on.
Yeah.
But having to have A, written it down and then B, edited it and then C, holding a book saying, this is real. And then having to talk about it on air with other, you know, it just, that experience keeps living now inside of me. And it was something I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So writing it down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We talked about try something new, take a chance.
Yeah. Yes, you know, I think sometimes we can get a little routine oriented, and I'm different than everybody else. It's good to go out and just kind of shake things up and just have a new experience. You never know what it's going to lead to, whether it's books and film or whatever, or just meeting someone, or
stretching the comfort zone,
and just expanding yourself.
Interesting. I had a client today and I was asking her, what does she not like to do? Because she couldn't tell me what she liked to do. So I said, tell me what you don't like to do. She says, I don't like to watch TV unless there's something inspiring on. I'm like, okay, so you like to watch inspiring things, which happens to be number 11 in your book, watch an inspirational show or movie.
Yeah.
And probably should go on to say, and don't watch anything else.
Right. Yeah, don't watch the news. That's for sure. I mean, yeah, you know how you feel when you watch something inspiring or thought-provoking? It gives you energy and it makes you happy and it makes you remember, you know, what the good things about yourself and life. And and everything, you know.
They say that creative energy is the same as love energy, right? So being inspired puts you in that state.
Yeah. Yes.
I think people don't realize that that's what it's really doing, is bringing that love of life out of you.
Yes. You know, I think, I mean, there's love on one side and there's fear on the other. And when we're kind of surrounding ourselves with just, you know, incorrect thoughts or news or that kind of stuff, it's hard to be the real you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mark, I'm amazed at your ability to tune in and my ability to have found it just after you said it. But our guest has a quote in his book on page 53 of Finding Your Voice. Creativity, love, and nature are all fuel for the soul.
There you go.
G. Brian Benson. Perfect. So with that, you can get your copy of Finding Your Voice or Brian's List or watch any of his videos, movies, all at gbrianbenson.com. And that's G as in the letter G, Brian Benson, BENSON.com. We'll be right back with a little more of G. Brian Benson. And in just a little bit, live music here at Studio NoHo by Harold Payne, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
And we are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, G. Brian Benson. And G. Brian, I needed to read this today in his book on page 74 of Finding Your Voice, Dream a Little Dream, a quote by Harriet Tubman. Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. Speaking of changing the world, you're coming up on kind of aligning yourself with a greater mission, which actually sounds like the mission that you started when you were 3 years old or recognized. Mm-hmm. And you're calling this whole mission what?
Yeah, I'm kind of just housing everything that I do under the umbrella of Reawakened Media is the name of my company, Reawakened Media. And the tagline is Waking Up the World.
Ah, Waking Up the World.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you.
You know, I also, so you were talking, or that quote reminded me of dreams and stars, and a couple of stars that introduced us to you. I wanted to shout out to Edward Dawson Taylor and Jackie Cooper from Edge Visual. Thank you for making a great introduction to Brian to us.
Yes. Thank you, Ed and Jackie.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
So you've got some poetry in the book and all that. So mm-hmm. I look forward to perusing that more. Mm-hmm. And you have started, actually you're releasing a book in October for children even.
Yeah. It's, you know, I have a whole bunch of kids' books I've never really done anything with. And so I'm going to publish Steve the Alien will be my first one.
Steve the Alien.
Steve the Alien. It's a rhyming story.
Okay.
And really happy with it. And the illustrations look fantastic.
You did those too?
Nope. They're done by a gentleman here in LA named Paul Hernandez, who's done a lot of amazing work
with
Disney, et cetera, in different places. And
Okay, so without giving it away.
Yeah, well, in a nutshell.
Okay, children,
without giving
close
it away,
your ears.
Yeah, earmuffs. there's a boy named Zeke walking to school, and an alien named Steve lands. And they have they have a little adventure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he get to go in the spaceship?
Not this time.
Oh, there's a series.
It could be. It could be. It could
be. To be continued.
It could be.
Oh, well, I can't wait for the movie.
Yeah, well, that too. Cartoon, yes.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I think to have somebody talk about you had so much a thriving business and everything was, and then but your soul needed to experience, and so you set on this journey, and now you're actually seemingly not at the end of that part of the journey, but it seems like under this umbrella and waking up the world, it's like you have all the tools you need.
It's exciting because I feel kind of like I'm at the cusp of really being able to kind of make a bigger difference.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much material. It's not even funny. I've written so much these last 3, 4, 5 years, and just to last me a lifetime, you know? And so it's just a matter of now just kind of, you know, putting more stuff out there, you know, books and stuff. And I've kind of got a little schedule set up and other, you know, I've got a lot of really neat projects coming up. I've got a couple of scripts I'm proud of that I'm working on with a writing partner who's very talented. I've got another book I'm working on that doesn't have a title yet, but I'm very excited about. I've got the kids' books and just the unknown, which almost excites me even more. You know, and you just, you know.
That's awesome.
Almost even more.
Even more.
As excited like as I am Christmas about all
every,
that.
Christmas every day.
But wait, there's more.
But wait.
He said, what did you say? Christmas every day?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, good for you. This is great. It's great to talk to you. It's great to hear all that you're doing. We'd love updates.
Sure.
And so more power to you. Brian's List, Finding Your Voice. These are the books so far. And Finding Your Voice, Searching for Happiness just came out about a month ago. Guitar Man's out there. These are both films, and you'll find those at gbrianbenson.com. The TEDx talk is there, and all kinds of things. You talk and you walk and you act.
Juggle. I mean, all kinds of parlor tricks, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing all this fun stuff.
Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun.
G. Brian Benson, and remember, gbrianbenson.com. We will be right back, and our musical guest is Harold Payne, live here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, Brian Benson. We have been joined in the studio by our musical guest, Harold Payne. Now, Harold is a multi-platinum songwriter. He's a look at him. He's like, yeah, go on and on. I wasn't even going to go into the written songs for Patti LaBelle and Rod Stewart, The Temptations, Peter, Paul, and Mary. I wasn't even going to do that. Bobby Mack, Snoop Dogg, and 50 Cent. I wasn't even, but it's you made me do it by doing that. Why are you so modest? Well, hello and welcome, hi. Harold Payne.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Why are you so modest?
No, I think everyone feels a little uncomfortable if people start rattling off credits and stuff, even though you wrote them yourself.
Well, you put them down.
I put them down. Okay.
So Beverly Hills Cop. Two. I'll stop. But yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 2. You've written for commercials, for film, for bands, for singers. How did you know? Did you tell your mother at 3 years old over cereal, Mom, I'm going to write for some of the most famous people in the world?
Yeah, actually, I told my mom that I wanted to be a musician when I grew up. And she said, son, you can't do both.
Oh, wow. So go eat your cereal.
No, so I haven't grown up.
Wow, good for you, so that you could be a musician.
That's right.
Well, there's something to say about not growing up then.
That's right.
I think I want to not grow up when I grow up, too. Well, and so what did you pick up first? Singing or playing the guitar, or what came first?
Oh, I think I kind of, I was the go-to guy for people's little limerick poetry projects in junior high school. And I felt that I had like a little gift for something that wasn't the real deep stuff, but more the accessible, you know, quick kind of a thing. And it kind of evolved from
there. That was commercial back then.
That's right.
You were already tuning into, this is commercial.
But I, not intentionally, it was just, I was being
natural.
Who I was.
Yeah, ooh, nice. Yes, you were being yourself. and that was allowed? Were you supported at that point?
I actually was. I have one brother who's a very well-known yoga guy, and my other brother was a DJ, and I was a musician, and my sister did many things, but also became a yogi as well. So
wow.
My parents just said...
None of them grew up either?
No, none of us have grown up, obviously.
Well, we're happy to have you children in the world.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for being here. No, you know, your music, actually, a lot of it is uplifting, is almost spiritual. It's how do you define it?
I'd say that it's mainly positive, like universally positive. Mm-hmm. I looked back. I put out this CD that was a compilation, and I didn't know what it was going to be. And then I looked back 30 years ago and realized that all were all these songs that were really positive. Pass It On, Brother, Music Speaks Louder Than Words. And mm-hmm. and then I thought, there's a ribbon, you know, that went all forward that we often look back and find. So I put out this compilation called The Power of Positive Music. Mm-hmm. And then somebody said, you should be playing at these New Thought churches and other events. And I said, okay. And so I figure wherever I can... my mission statement was to touch people's life in a positive way with music. And
that's how you ended up on the Life Changes show. That mission statement alone got you here. And we're so glad. Actually, evidently we met you through Lynn Rose at a party. Or
yes.
You and I at one of her parties and you and Mark at another party. So
that's
Big shout out to Lynn
party
Rose.
Party of the first part and the third
yeah,
part.
Yeah, the party of the first part. So... what's one of the most fun projects that you've worked on musically? Oh, by the way, I didn't mention Kenny Loggins or Is. I think I did very well.
Those are people I opened for. I just don't want to take credit where I don't mind taking, you know, those, but I didn't write with them. But yes.
No, I didn't say you were writing for them.
Okay.
It's people that you've
worked with.
Right.
Okay, yeah. I did a tour, a little short tour with Kenny Loggins. I did a lot of opening acts and stuff. I'd say probably the most fun project I did recently is I went to England a couple years ago with my longtime collaborator, the late Bobby Womack, and we did this project in England with two of the biggest guys in the music business over there, the guy that owns XL Recordings, which is Adele's label, and that her album was taking off while we did this project, he co-produced it with this guy, Damon Albarn, who has two groups that have sold 10 million albums, Gorillaz and Blur. And so I got to go on this trip, and we wrote 18 songs together over two or three trips to London. And
wow.
It was just a fantastic experience.
I like that one of the best parts or most enjoyable parts of your life was only recently. What that indicates to me is like you've still got a long ways to go.
Hey, the best is yet to come.
Wow.
It's warming up.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you. Well, speaking of the best is yet to come, I understand we're going to get to hear some music.
Yes.
And now I also understand that you, because you also did a TEDx talk that I enjoyed, and you talk about being spontaneous and being able to make songs up at the moment. Are you actually going to sing a song that you've written before?
I'll do that. The first one I will, but if you want me to make up one on the spot, I will. I thought I would do something that tied in a little bit with what he said, just a little three or four line thing that ties to tie in from him to me.
You tie up whatever you want to do, Harold. You are Harold Payne. You can do whatever you want. Here's Harold Payne doing something that's going to tie up something, and we're glad that he is on the Life Changes show in Studio No.
I have no idea how it's going to go.
Something like this, I bet.
He ran a golf shop till he had a stroke of intuition that made him stop and listen to a voice inside that says it's more about being who I am and sharing what I've got and start waking up myself and waking up the world. So many choices, so little time. So many mountains left to climb. I know that it gets clearer as I get nearer to where I'm meant to be. But I can't be anybody but myself, and everybody else is already taken. I got to follow my own road, and God only knows where I'm going. Everybody trying to fit in with Izod shirts. In my own skin. No, now that I'm losing my way, I just got to say that it's still okay. Hey, I can't be anybody but myself, and everybody else is already taken. I got to follow my own road, and God only knows where I'm going. I'm trusting my instincts, they're keeping me in sync with my head and my heart in my soul. I can't be anybody but myself, and everybody else is already taken. Oh, I got to follow my own road, and God only knows where I'm going. Yeah, I got to follow my own road, and God only knows where I'm going.
Wow. You made me cry.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Standing ovation. Harold,
amazing.
You are amazing. Now, I have to. Doug Newsom at BBS Radio just wrote in, wow. I have to say to the audience who doesn't know, listening here, that your guitar was here in the studio with us, not with you in the sound room. So you didn't practice this song. You didn't even hear the melody outside of your head.
Well, just that first part of the song was improvised. And the rest of the song is a song, an existing song that I ad-libbed a couple things in there.
Brilliant.
So the I didn't know what I was going to do musically at the beginning, but up through the Waking Up Myself and Waking Up the World.
The tying things together worked quite well.
What was the name of that song?
It's called Can't Be Anybody But Myself. And I actually co-wrote the song with a gentleman by the name of Nathan Aswell.
That's amazing.
Wow.
But I do a lot of, these days, I do a lot of custom song work and what I call recap improv. So the reason I got to do a TEDx talk is because I did the National Speakers Association. Mm-hmm. I did a recap song for all 8 of the main stage speakers. I mean, it was like an amazing opportunity. I was on the main stage all 3 days.
Wow.
And 2 people would speak and then I'd go do a song about them. And, you know, I was in the back taking notes. And so... that's what I do at a lot of conferences and things. I maybe would do a custom song in advance about someone who's going to be an awardee, and then I'll do something like a recap of the featured speaker, and maybe some other like a kickoff, and you know, kind of a music.
And the audience goes crazy for that,
connecting the dots.
Well, it's just
musically,
you know,
yes, because we know. What Peter, Paul, and Mary, the music is...
Music speaks louder than words.
Exactly. That a lot of people have sung that song, but Harold wrote that. HaroldPaineMusic.com. If you want your own song, you can hire him to do that or hire him to come into your conference and do this. Harold Payne. Payne is P-A-Y-N-E music.com. You're all over the internet. You're all over everything, but people can go there, HaroldPaineMusic.com, and find you.
Right, that's the heart center.
Right. Speaking of heart center, you are seemingly very heart-centered.
Yes, I would say so.
I'm glad for you. Have you always been that way? Has the music helped you be that way?
Or? I'd say that I just, you know, naturally kind of a positive person. And I just, gratitude is the big part of it. I mean, I think I'm just grateful for all the opportunities that I've had. And I think it's one of the most important things that I can have. And if that's heart-centered, then that's me.
It also comes from not growing up.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
That's right. Well, great. Well, are we going to have the pleasure of hearing another song?
Yes, if you should so desire.
We so desire.
I was planning on doing a song that didn't... I do one that related to his talk and then one that kind of relates to what's going on these days.
Well, then that's what we're going to hear. What is that called, by the way?
It's called... It's called Love Wins.
Love Wins. Where do we find...
These two songs are on my new album, a new CD called Possibilities.
Possibilities. And yes. Is that already out?
Yes.
Okay.
It just came out, and it's on my label and on my website and all the other usual places, iTunes, CD Baby.
Excellent. At HaroldPaineMusic.com, Possibilities. But now we're going to hear a song from Possibilities called Love Wins. Here's Harold Payne live on the Life Changes Show.
You turn the news on, you get your blues on from all the negativity. It's hard to wrap yourself around what's going down on TV. You can stress it, second guess it, you can think about it way too hard, or you can move the conversation from your head to your heart. Sometimes it's a matter of just letting go and holding on to the one thing we know. Love wins, love wins. That's where the circle of life begins. It's the one simple lesson we're learning again and again. Love wins. We all matter. It doesn't matter if we're on one side or the other. As long as we find a way to get along with one another, we can agree to disagree, or maybe even realize that we see another point of view when we look through someone else's eyes.
Sometimes it's as easy as just letting go and holding on to the one thing we know. Love wins, love wins. That's where the circle of life begins. It's the one simple lesson we're learning again and again. Love wins whenever you give it a chance. It is the one hope that everyone had to build a better world for us all. Love wins, love wins. That's where the circle of life begins. It's the one simple lesson we're learning again and again. Love wins, that's where it all begins. Love wins, we learn it again and again. Love wins, that's where it all.
Wow. Harold Payne, thank you so much.
Co-wrote that song with a gentleman named Kevin Fisher. Just want to get that in there.
Thank you for that. And that is so important. I posted on Facebook how we don't give songwriters and music composers enough credit in this world. So thank you for throwing that in. And thank you for having written so many songs that have inspired and have been a pleasure to listen to over and over and over again. But this song, Love Wins, thank you for writing that.
Yeah.
You know, ironically, it came out, I don't know if I have a second to say how it came about.
Please.
But I do these custom songs, and sometimes I re-customize them to myself. It was someone's birthday, and it was... That was, you know, one of her hashtag things was Love Wins. And so Love Wins, you know, taking another circle around the sun. Didn't know 40 could be this much fun. And but I liked the song. And so I, you know, kind of redid it with my friend.
You made it work for you and it worked for us, I could tell.
So happy.
And may it work for the world.
These are your lips.
The kinds of songs we need, especially more than ever. And it's shows like this that remind me why we're doing this. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a big thank you to Harold Payne, our musical guest, and to G. Brian Benson, our guest. What could I say? First of all, speaking of sound, I have to thank... Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
and Doug Newsom at BBS Radio for being our program manager. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, Mark Leger, our producer, and myself, your host, Filippo Voltaggio, I'm here to remind you, oh, there's Jet. I have to give a big shout out to, hi, Jet.
Hey, Jet Paul in the house.
I remind you that as your life changes like ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.